Abend. Ich freue mich sehr, hier heute Abend reden zu können. Die eigentliche Rede wird auf Englisch stattfinden, aber wir sind ja in beiden Sprachen. My end is my beginning. Time and Conversation Systems. Music has again and again been called the art of time. Ben Chera just mentioned it. And indeed, when music has no lyrics, as it often has, all we are left with to make sense out of the stream of sounds is a sensation of how time moves in it. As sociologist Alfred Schütz once remarked, in listening and making music, we experience a particular flow of time, and more importantly, we always experience it with others. The theory of being together in the flow of time even has a special technical term in Western music. It's called harmony. And this thing doesn't work. Musical harmony all comes down to two seemingly simple questions. Which sounds sound simultaneously? And secondly, do we want them to continue sounding simultaneously? The second question, of course, is one of interpretation. Whether we want something or anything to extend over time depends largely on emotional, social, and cultural circumstance. But the first question, the question of simultaneity, is not open to interpretation. It is an immediate experience. Music, arguably, is the relational art par excellence. Oops. It was relational for centuries before this term became all the rage in contemporary art. For when music is framed or understood as art, its only meaning derives from how it evokes and shapes social relations in the flow of time. And here, simultaneity is the key relation, the one that defines all others. Carl Jung coined the term synchronicity to point out how we as humans tend to give extraordinary importance to simultaneity. Two things happening at the same time seem to be more meaningful to us than if they occurred in sequence. The now of the present mostly passes by unnoticed. But if unlikely things coincide, the moment suddenly becomes meaningful to us. When a foot touches the ball at precisely the right moment, or when two seemingly unrelated sonic sequences or melodies come together in some kind of serendipitous harmony. The now is the moment when the terms harmony and dissonance become relevant. As music listeners and music makers, we are thus experts on simultaneity. We play around with it, around it, through it. But when are we? When we make and listen to music. I mean, in which kind of time frame precisely are we when we listen or when we make music? This is a question that musicians, particularly in Europe over the last millennium, have tried to answer in several ways, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. Some of the answers to these questions were found by musicians in many other traditions. But this is not a university course. We have 20 minutes, so I'll confine myself to Western European music. Before we go on, I would like to introduce you to a word, to a verb, that is not often seen, to music, a term introduced into musicology in the 1990s by Christopher Small. Means both the act of listening and the act of making music. And it also means everything around these acts, the hall, the financial structure, the public relations, everything that makes music possible. Musicking is thus what we do when we make and listen to music. And the word is an acknowledgement of the fact that making and listening are highly complex activities that cannot be easily separated from each other. So the question now is, when are we when we are musicking? Are we in or are we out of time? clarify, we are not always in the time that interests us. When we plan, we are not in the time we plan for. When we watch a play or a movie, the time in it is not our real time. It is an intensified, blown-up time that we follow intensely, but actually do not live through. When we remember, we are not in the time that we remember, obviously. And when musicking, now, are we in the time that interests us, or are we outside or inside of it? At first glance, many probably would assume that time in music is very similar to the time in movies or in theater. It is out there on a screen or on a stage, and we must follow it. The fact that today most of the music we encounter indeed comes ready-made out of loudspeakers tends to support such a view. But the matter is not so simple. It's very hard to be simply a dispassionate observer of music. We all know that when we listen intensely, when we observe intensely in the sense, we may actually close our eyes. The music seems to be inside us, not somewhere else. Our entire body becomes a site of musicking. And we also know that if we do not get into it, the most beautiful music can become quite obnoxious. We are either in the now or in the noise. Before history began, and ever since, improvising has been the most prevalent mode of musicking. In improvising, music is not something separate from us. It is a relation between our physical and our psychological existence. There is no outside in free improvisation. We move through sound as we would move through a rainforest, very close and bereft of perspective. This can be a very exhilarating sensation, but also sometimes a frightening one. Does anyone have a map? Well, songs, hymns, dances, and so on can be such maps through the sonic jungle. Repetition tames newness. Harmony, simultaneity, indicates zones of safety and of danger. Recurring rhythmic and melodic gestures create features within a featureless landscape. More complex compositions are somewhat like a hiking guide. Someone who went before us on this path cleared a way through the sonic jungle and created some sort of human order. Go there, not there, take a break, wait a bit, something beautiful will come in a moment. So dramaturgy is a kind of game that we can only play with a sequence of events we already know. And as recipients of dramaturgy, we follow these dramaturgical tellings because we trust that those who tell them know a future that we do not yet know. So we have improvisation on one hand, composition on the other, and these have been the two principal answers musicians have come up with in response to the question, when are we in musicking? On the one hand, in improvisation, it seems we are always the music while the music lasts, deep in the bowels of the present moment. On the other hand, it seems in musicking or composition, we can both step in and out of the musical flow, knowing that there is a map frees us to dawdle and to doodle. Songs and set pieces, compositions that are not written yet, nevertheless already distance us from the musical flow of time. In musicking a song, just as in retelling a memory, we live in several time flows at once. The practice of writing compositions, of writing scores, was partly prompted by a medieval theological dilemma. If God is all-knowing, then logically there cannot be any past, present, or future. What we call time must therefore be just us traveling through God's own map. Like in a book, God can peek ahead or go back, while we have to enact word after word, step after step, sound after sound. And we call this enactment time. Being used to such a bookish concept of religion and time, some medieval Christians found it almost sacrilegious to have improvised music in their rituals. So much variability, so much unreliability. In a time of existential uncertainty and man-made political strife, sacred music, they probably felt, should represent the divine, eternal perspective on time. And what we then actually hear in church would be just an unfolding of this eternal truth. The time of music should be God's time, and therefore hymns must be standardized and sound exactly the same everywhere in church. The Pope thus decreed a Bible of music, detailing all canonized hymns and songs, the so-called Gregorian chant. In this book, the fluid and ephemeral and locally variable reality of sound and ritual was written down in unchangeable notation and thus spirited away from the restless turmoil of time. Notating music, initially motivated by concerns of eternity and ubiquity, quickly grew into a very proliferating practice. And thus, in the church and beyond, the rumble in the jungle of improvisation became the walk in the park with the score map in the hand. Musicking once an unforeseeable moment of grace, from now on, was to be written on paper and parchment as a spiritual text, a text that then could be re-enacted and interpreted anew by generation after generation. In singing from notation, musicians fused the past of the notation with the now of their voice. This was an exciting discovery, that you could actually have a score that would conserve, that would be a master over time. And the most radical expression of this power of the written score was the musical palindrome, or as musicologists would call it, the retrograde canon. A song that sounds the same whether you sing it forward or backward. In 20th century parlance, this would be called reversible music. Effects of time, in our understanding of the matter, are irreversible. But a divine canon is immune to such lowly effects. The musical palindrome is always out of time while we are in it. But while we listen to the canon, we know that our end is also our beginning. And our beginning is our end. This phrase, incidentally, is also the lyrics of the first really masterful retrograde canon written by Guillaume de Machaut in the 14th century, Ma fin est mon commencement et mon commencement ma fin. It is clear that improvisation, chained as it is to a seemingly eternal now, cannot turn back time in this way. But on the other hand, improvising is not only an expression of the present moment. The past is essential for improvisation too. It is not all spontaneous combustion, rumble in the jungle, and divine grace. Think of the improviser. How can one at all become a vessel for inspiration? Most religions recognize a need to discipline your body before the spirit can become receptive. Inspired improvised musicking, too, is the outcome of many years of exercises, devotion, and discipline. The map, the score, the text of improvisation does not exist on paper. It is inexorably inscribed on the body of the performer. If the fingers and the vocal cords cannot improvise the music, neither can the musician. Years of physical training and mental training are channeled into one singular moment of improvisation, and improvisation is really an extremely durational art. The score on paper, the score inscribed into the body, both are examples of musical time flow outside the now, intrusions of the past that decisively shape the present. When almost 20 years ago, in the late 1990s, I started to work with computer-aided composition. Until then, I was clearly a score-based composer of operas, orchestra works, string quartets, and the like. When I started to work with computer-aided composition, my principal interest was to bring these two types of scoring music together, body and text, improvisation and composition in a convolution of past and present. At that time, I was in Paris at the IRCAM Music Research Center, deep down in the underbelly of the Centre Georges Pompidou, working on new softwares for my next opera, where, amongst other things, I wanted a violin to sing with the inhuman voice and the spatial ubiquitousness of a goddess. The storyline of that opera centered on the life and work of early 20th century mathematical genius Srinivasan Ramanujan. His many groundbreaking theorems are a source of wonder to mathematicians even today, not least because Ramanujan seems to have jotted down some of the most extraordinary propositions with no preliminary sketches. There seems to be no planning, no derivation from previous other theorems. The way they are written down in his notebooks looks and feels as if these profound statements had been improvised. Ramanujan himself saw nothing mysterious here. He claimed that they had been inspired, whispered into his ear, by a local mountain goddess from the small South Indian village that he had grown up in. This was the goddess whose operatic voice I was trying to entrust to live software synthesis. And it was quite clear, conceptually at least, to me, that the music this goddess would sing could not be human music, humanly composed. It had to be improvised, but in a clearly non-human way. In 1996, no software could do that without sounding terribly mechanical. Hence, I did what one must sometimes do in the arts of the stage, I faked it. I composed melodies for the computer voice that, for all theatrical purposes, behaved and sounded just like such a divine improvisation. At this point, scratching my head in conceptual despair, I began to wonder whether the age-old separation between improvisation and composition actually was a thing. Is actual music really separated into different streams, or was this improvisation versus composition dichotomy just an artifact produced and cemented by the inadequate technologies at our disposal? Does not the idea of fixing an incessant flow of sounds permanently onto paper seem like a weird technological mismatch? And is preparing mind and body for many years really the optimal technique to create spontaneity? In parallel with many composers at the time, I asked myself if the advent of the computer could not be a real game changer here. Did it not offer a realistic potential for a truly new way of musicking, somewhere midway between these two extremes, the two poles of improvisation and composition? What, for example, if the interactive, fluid potential of writing on a computer screen could be harnessed to generate notations in real time? This would enable scores that react to the music just as another improviser would. And what if one could actively and analytically access all the improvised performances one has ever played? If you could use the memory of the computer to create a kind of archival body, an archival score, an out-of-body memory that could instantly recognize the traces of past musical phrases in the present moment of improvisation and make such simultaneities and synchronicities audible to us long after the performer himself had forgotten. This would enable improvisations to become cross-referenced musical texts that could be understood, reflected upon, and reframed, just as it happens in the act of composing. A new convergence of music and attitudes seemed in the air, and I called this new approach comprovisation. Obviously, comprovisation. Almost 20 years onwards now, the comprovisation system called Native Alien, the music that you're hearing tonight, was developed in my own research lab and Matra lab at Concordia University. It is my personal response to some of the questions. Of course, while you do it, other questions arise, and so it also addresses many other questions that I'd had no idea about at that time. In Native Alien, a musician starts playing a melody selected from a database of seed melodies. This melody is displayed on the screen, The computer listens to the musician playing, waits until the musician invites the computer to join. From now on, both compromise, which means that they both follow rule systems that themselves change all the time. The computer has 8 different improvisation personalities, and the computer conductor sitting at the computer can mix and morph them in many ways. But what is a improvisation personality? Well, when improvising with a human partner, one relies on 2 basic assumptions: that the other not only listens, but understands what I do, and that the improvisers share the mutual project of inventing something together that they will both call music. They will share what we could call a style. Neither of these assumptions is justified in playing with the native alien, computer improviser. Semantics and style are of zero importance to it, and neither is being inventive. Conceptual poet Kenneth Goldsmith would probably recognize what the native alien software does as the artistic practice of uncreative musicking. It is music culled, rearranged, collaged from the data stream the musician has played. But there are, of course, many ways of being uncreative. The 8 personalities of the computer range from terror to humor, from disgust to admiration, from attraction to empathy, from inner peace to aggression. These are all shorthand labels for different ways and systems behaviors by which the computer rearranges the score and the sound the musician has played. And in this process, the computer challenges rather than supports the musician. What comes out of the computer is therefore a heavily distorted image of the immediate past, reassembled into a deeply emotional counter music that intrudes onto the present moment of improvisation. Improvisations between humans normally aim to create a sense of being together in a mutually reinforcing sense of now. The musicers in Native Alien, human and computer, however, intertwine in a deeply conflictual present, one in which the musician can never plan ahead or even be assured of the common moment of now, because the computer constantly brings up powerful specters of the past. So when are we when we are musicking? In Native Alien, this is the central question. In conventional composition, musicians must construct a living sense of now, because all important musical decisions lie dormant in the written score and must be revived into the present moment. In conventional improvisation, musicians must be aware of the living now, because all the important musical decisions have to be made in it, together, on the fly. In Native Alien, there's no togetherness between the human and the computer musicers. And many important musical decisions will only partly be up to the performers on stage. A large part will be made by the software entity, and they cannot comprehend or influence it in any major way. So musicers in Native Alien find themselves in an uncertain terrain, where time is moving in weird and strangely bent shapes, constantly shifting allegiance between inside and outside perception, between clock time, consciousness time, and computer processing time. For those who want to use music as a refuge from the pressures of external time, a kind of position of relaxation, such music will perhaps sound like an alien terrain too. But perhaps, just perhaps, it may also make us aware that such a strange, convoluted, mysterious behavior of time is actually quite familiar to us, that we are all, in fact, natives to this vast empire of unreliable time. In our lives, there is no unperturbed now. Every moment is complicated and unstable, a muddle of past menaces, current affordances, and sometimes projections of change. Native Alien is an experiment in musicking that can let us as listeners experience the valiant exploits of a crew of musicians navigating some of the unreliable empire's more instable regions. Let us listen to them now.